Well, just as the mainstream media did in the 2016 election, they're out front proclaiming a Democrat beating Trump in 2020. Citing polls that were obviously made up, the fake news media and Democrat operatives declared Hillary Clinton the winner in 2016, beating Trump in a rout. According to them, there was no way at all for Trump to win the 2016 election. We now know that all of those prognosticators were wrong. By declaring Hillary the winner from the get-go, they hope to dissuade Trump supporters from even voting. Now they're at it again, proclaiming that Biden is beating Trump. The battle has not even yet begun, and the media starts undercutting the president. Once the truth starts coming out about Barack Hussein Obama's vice presidential lackey, we'll be able to get poll numbers that really mean something. Socialist Bernie Sanders' poll numbers have been falling like a stumbling drunk. But it was just a few weeks ago the mainstream media told us that Sanders was a shoo-in over Trump. Everybody is a beauty queen until the lights come on. Biden's campaign appearances are drawing fewer people than a chitlin buffet, while Trump speaks to sold-out crowds. In Florida, there were more than 100,000 requests for tickets last week for a Trump rally. So don't be fooled by the mainstream media propaganda. Just as with their rosy picture of Hillary Clinton, they are blind to the truth. In today's commentary, I give credit to Thomas Lifson, Christian Watson, and Brenna Makauka for their research and help. It's not yet Halloween, but an all-too-familiar specter has returned to haunt American political discourse. The demand for reparations for slavery. This is the idea that members of minorities today have been harmed by past injustices, even if they were not alive to experience those past injustices, and somehow they deserve restitution. The ever-present Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has called for an agenda of reparations. She isn't alone in her sentiments. Several 2020 Democratic presidential candidates, including Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren, have sung the praises of reparations as well. Just last week, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee put forth a bill on the House floor for taxpayers to pay black people here today reparations money for something that happened more than 150 years ago. Not one soul involved in slavery is alive today. Not slave owners, nor the slaves, nor the black Africans who caused slavery to flourish by capturing and selling black Africans to slave traders. Sheila Jackson Lee is a black woman from Texas. She has a net worth of $3 million. And under her bill proposal, she would be due reparation payments from hardworking Americans who struggle just to make ends meet. So would Jesse Jackson, who has a net worth of $10 million. Someone needs to explain how Jackson came into that much money. Louis Farrakhan, the hate-filled anti-Semite, has a net worth of $40 million, and yet Louis would qualify for reparations money from taxpayers simply because he's black. Elijah Cummings has a net worth of $1.3 million. Maxine Waters at $2 million. And Kamala Harris has an accumulated net worth of $4 million. All of those people would qualify for reparations payments. Somehow they've been disadvantaged. Money taken from taxpayers, including the 92% of white people whose families never owned a slave, and the descendants of white soldiers who gave their lives to free blacks from slavery. Think about how insane the idea is. Do blacks who came to America of their own free will get reparations? They're black. How do you discriminate against them? How about blacks who came here last Thursday? Does Barack Hussein Obama get a full share of the money or a half share since his mother was white and his father was black? Just how disadvantaged was Obama? Were you ever president with pay and benefits for life? If not, why were you not disadvantaged? The claim is that slavery, which ended more than 150 years ago, penalizes blacks today. Why then does Oprah Winfrey's worth number billions of dollars? How did the black people I just named build their fortunes? Why does Sheila Jackson Lee make $175,000 a year in Congress while my hard-working white father never made more than $50,000 in his best year? The truth is that black Americans have been free men and women for more than 150 years. Their freed ancestors worked hard to build a better life for those who followed. Those ancestors created thriving businesses, banks, and families. That was before their descendants sold their souls to a Democratic Party, and all progress stopped. It was Democrats who owned the slaves. Democrats who resisted the freeing of the slaves. Democrats who formed the Ku Klux Klan to terrorize black Americans to keep them on their newly built political plantation. It was Republicans who freed the slaves. With the slaves' freedom in place, Democrats suddenly reversed course and began promoting government handouts designed to make the poor even more dependent upon them. They enlisted the help of certain members of the black clergy, like Jesse Jackson, to convince poor blacks that they needed the Democrats' government handouts to survive, to convince them that they could claim victimhood for the rest of their lives and take no responsibility for their own life. Slowly but surely, the older blacks who had been Republicans, people like Martin Luther King, died out, and the younger generation bought into the Democrats' lies. Along with dependence on government for welfare and food stamps, this generation of black Americans began to deteriorate. Black families, which had been the backbone of the movement to empower blacks, began to break apart. While some march in the streets declaring that black lives matter, they offer no resistance to the abortionists like Planned Parenthood, who have slaughtered tens of millions of black babies. Black fathers, who once stayed in the home and disciplined their children, became scarcer than flowers on poisoned land. In essence, the Democratic Party and those black cleric accomplices destroyed black society. If Democrats want someone to pay reparations for slavery, let it be the Democratic Party who ponies up for the damage that they caused. You can look all you want for reasons why blacks might feel disadvantaged, but you won't find it in slavery of more than a century and a half ago. You will find it in the truth I just laid out for you. Many conservative commentators, myself included, decry reparations for their impracticality and their supposed unfairness. But the true danger of reparations is much bigger. Reparations hurt the very individuals they are supposed to help. Reparations politicize America's bloody history. Slavery was heinous. Jim Crow was terrible. And historical racism has destroyed countless lives. These points are relatively uncontroversial today. But reparations weaponize this history for political gain, convincing certain groups that only so-called progressives want to make amends for the past. When conservatives or centrists fail to go along on this fool's errand of reparations, it creates the false narrative that they don't care about the current or past struggles of black people. In the eyes of someone who lived through Jim Crow and experiences racism, this might render the other side invalid. Progressive politicians are okay with that. They understand these things and exploit them to curry favor with black voters because they desperately need them as more and more white voters leave the Democratic Party and its socialist path. It is imperative that Democrats find other voting blocks. In 2018, the black vote contributed significantly to the Democratic takeover of the House of Representatives, and it's been a reliable voting bloc for the past few voting cycles. So to maintain this loyalty, Democrats must convince black voters that all of their problems can be fixed by government if Democrats stay in power. Unfortunately for Democrats, more and more black voters have begun to see the destruction of their race by Democrats. Progressives already coax black Americans into believing that actions taken against their identity, no matter how long ago or by whom, constitute a personal threat to them all. This type of identity politics, far from being helpful, tries to convince black Americans to think and act like a bloc and not an individual. That leads to tragic incidents like the recent riot in St. Louis, when blacks took to the streets after a young black man had died at the hands of the police. This mob did not wait to find out if the police were right or wrong. They poured into the streets, causing damage and inflicting pain on several policemen, killing one. As it turned out, the police had been more than justified in shooting this hoodlum. That is acting as a bloc, an ignorant bloc. Democrats encourage blacks to act as a bloc. Former President Barack Hussein Obama even said that it would be a personal insult if blacks did not vote for Hillary Clinton. We now see why Obama was so frantic to get Hillary into the presidency. He needed her to cover his tail after he left office. The investigation's now underway, looking into how Obama and Valerie Jarrett weaponized the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, and the Justice Department to try and influence the 2016 election in favor of Hillary Clinton, means that Obama desperately needed cover to escape prosecution. That cover failed, and the next few months will reveal how deep the conspiracy to derail the Trump presidency really ran. All Americans should watch closely, because if we do not come down hard on these people, people like James Comey, John Brennan, Loretta Lynch, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Hillary Clinton, and yes, Obama himself, no presidential candidate is safe, not a Republican or a Democrat. It was identity-based thinking that was used to justify the enslavement, mistreatment, and dehumanization of black Americans historically. When identity informs our worldview and dictates policy, we view life through the same lens as Jim Crow, slavery, and racism, albeit with a much less insidious intent. That doesn't repair harms. It deepens wounds. The push for reparations also assumes that every minority has a stake in this. It creates a victim class. For the notion of reparations to even be entertained, the subjects must accept that they are victims. Yet, the psychological harms of a victim mentality are well documented, and they are devastating. Psychology professor Richard Parncutt points out that people with a victim mentality never take responsibility for their actions. They suffer from low self-esteem and constantly attribute their troubles to somebody else. Victim classes are perfect for those looking to gain political capital. Being told that somebody else is responsible for your current plight is an attractive message. If someone believes that they are a victim, they will never recognize that they can change their life situation. Black Americans will never rise above their supposed shortcomings if they are conditioned not to engage with them personally, but to blame others and wait for help from government. Help that has not come and will never come. There's little doubt that some progressives pushing reparations are well-intentioned, but good intentions are not enough. Reparations would only further enshrine a mentality of defeatism and beggary into our discourse. If we truly want to make amends for the sins of our ancestors, let's stop ourselves from repeating their mistakes. Here's a list of questions that reparations would require answers for. First, if your ancestor owned a slave, do you pay less than if your ancestor owned two slaves? If your ancestor was a free black and owned a slave, do you not have to pay? If your ancestor died fighting against slavery in the Civil War, do you have to pay? Or do you get reparations yourself? If your ancestor lived in a slave state, but owned no slaves at all, do you still have to pay reparations? And how will government deal with individuals who are part black and part white? What if they're only a fraction black? And do we make black people who had ancestors in the slave trade in Africa pay white people who never owned a slave for causing them grief over reparations? Democrats should be encouraged not just to come out in favor of reparations, but how to explain how they will be administered, how we can possibly pay for them, and why money makes it better. Like lemmings, Democrats are rushing toward a cliff. The spectacle of many Democrats running for president, prostrating themselves before race hustler Al Sharpton, is disgusting. Why they would embrace this horrible little man is not too hard to guess. Sharpton, like Jesse Jackson, is an expert at implying threats of demonstrations and demonization of you as a racist. His organization, the National Action Network, has prospered greatly from contributions from corporations that have been cowed by the fear of such retaliation. But worse, that mere association with this vile man is the promise that seems to have been required. Support for a commission to study reparations for slavery. After all, Sharpton is black, and his greedy little hands would be the first in line to be paid. The liberal actor, Danny Glover, has testified in favor of reparations. Why not? Glover is black and stands to benefit from any payout. But Danny Glover has a net worth of more than $40 million. Each acting role that he takes pays him millions. His TV commercials add to his wealth. How is Danny Glover disadvantaged because of slavery? Cory Booker would also get benefits for being black. Booker has proposed a baby bond program. It would give every child born in the United States a set of money every year. The amount would be tied to the family's income. Single mothers would benefit most because their incomes would be lower. With more children brings an even lower income barrier. The money would be paid into a bank account. The children couldn't spend the money until they turned 18, and then only on certain things, such as buying a home or school tuition. The program, as proposed by Booker, would give the average black child about $29,000, and the average white child $16,000, or only 55% of what the black child gets. Somehow for liberal Democrats, that represents equality. It is true that blacks are disproportionately poor compared to whites. Their crime rates are disproportionately higher than whites, too. But is this the result of taking more than 150 years to recover from slavery, or from the Democrats' more recent failed policies that encourage black mothers to be single, leaving young black men growing up without fathers? Why should everyone pay for failed Democratic policies? Reparations have been tried elsewhere and without success. The country of Zimbabwe tried to implement a form of reparations, which backfired on them terribly. The government there took money from white farmers without any compensation and gave it to politically connected blacks. That resulted in hyperinflation and desperate food shortages. It left the black population far worse off. Thankfully, the new Zimbabwe government has reversed the policy, but the pain lingers on among the people. As our Supreme Court has interpreted the Constitution, it forbids racial handouts to rectify mistreatment of a group that occurred in the past. Someone who grew up in the modern era, white or black, is so removed from slavery, it is difficult to point to the specific harm that they themselves suffered as a result. If black Americans are entitled to reparations, what about other racial and ethnic groups that have faced mistreatment in the past? Elizabeth Warren is already calling for reparations for Native Americans. Even though they caught her in a lie and exposed her as having less Indian blood than Geronimo's pony. Any reparations program would be difficult, if not impossible, to implement honestly. Many people, black or white, don't know whether their ancestors were slaves or slave owners. The Liberal Democrat program would take money from all taxpayers, not just whites. Why should other groups that have been mistreated be punished? And what if a black person like Kamala Harris is descended from slave owners, not slaves? Giving people money who were never slaves from people who were never slave owners is a foolish idea. It is a fool's errand to buy votes from people who have already been enslaved in the modern era by Democrats who have made them totally dependent on government. I spent a good bit of money several years ago, many years ago, in fact, it was almost 20 years ago, to go back into my family history. I hired a firm out of Salt Lake City that specialized in that at the time. It would have been much cheaper today. I think it cost me something like $25,000. But I wanted to know if I had slave owners in my past, my ancestors. There wouldn't be anything I could do about it, but I wanted to know. I could not find, they could not find, one single slave owner among my ancestors. In fact, my ancestors came here from England as indentured servants themselves. They had nothing to do with slavery. But as it turns out now, if Sheila Jackson Lee has her way, I'd have to pay reparations. I'm not going to do it, but I would have to under the law. You would too. It's a silly idea, but it's one that makes people feel better because they think they're going to get a free handout. Let me end today on a lighter note. I was looking at some of the crazy laws in our states. In Delaware, it's a misdemeanor to sell, barter, or offer the fur of a domestic dog or cat. You get a $2,500 fine. In Florida, people who own bars, restaurants, and other places where liquor is sold can be fined up to $1,000 if they participate in or permit any contest of dwarf tossing. Apparently, Florida outlawed tossing little people in 1989 after the bar activity caught on in southern parts of the state. In Idaho, cannibalism is strictly prohibited and punishable by up to 14 years in prison, except under life-threatening conditions as the only apparent means of survival. So if something so heinous happened and you had life-threatening conditions, in Idaho, it would be permissible to eat grandma. In Indiana, liquor stores can't sell refrigerated water or soda. The law specifies that a beer and wine store should be the exclusive business of selling hard liquor. And one more. In Kentucky, every legislator, public officer, or lawyer must take an oath stating that they have not fought a duel with deadly weapons. Might be time to relook at that one. However, in today's society, maybe not. I thank you for listening today. You can contact me by email at comments@tomjoyner.net. That's comments@tomjoyner.net. I do thank you for listening. I thank you for your support. I hear from many of you. I hope to hear from more of you. And I do appreciate those comments. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station.